Hello and welcome to a special presentation from In the Money Media. It's Preakness Day, and we are here with another episode of Racing with Roman. PTF, back with you in the Brooklyn Bunker once again. Yes, I was in Baltimore yesterday, but came back for various reasons, not just to do the show, but also because my daughter has a chorus concert a little bit later today. Don't tell her, I may be watching the races on my phone when she's not singing. When she's singing, she'll have my full attention, though. But very happy to be here with the man who presents this show and has given out tons of winners and his thoughts on his time in the game as both an owner and a gambler. He is Larry Roman. Larry, how are you, my man?
I'm doing great. I'm glad to hear that your daughter got your great voice, because I've said that all along. You do have a very distinctive voice, and I think that's what makes you so successful. So you passed it on to your children. So that's a wonderful thing to hear.
Yeah, the allergies are making the voice go a little low right now. Some might say it was the drinking I did in Baltimore, but I swear it's the allergies. But Larry, I want to start off, I was a little distracted yesterday because, of course, at the Preakness, they don't really show a whole lot of simulcasting. It's all about, Black Eyed Susan Day. It's still all the TVs are Pimlico. But you won a race in New York yesterday. I want to hear all about it.
Oh, yeah. It was $10,000 claimer, which is not much to brag about. I went off at, 2-5 or something, like 0.35. But it was basically... the idea in the claiming game is not to get caught to be the last one with the horse. I mean, that's just the claiming game that you're playing. We claimed this horse under my direction. And then I look back after I claimed the horse. I go, why did I claim this horse? The horse was a 6-year-old and only raced twice as a 5-year-old. And I'm saying, and he raced terribly when we claimed him. So Rob did his great job. Rob Attris, phenomenal trainer, phenomenal guy. Everybody likes him. he's just that type. And his wife, Brittany, is also just amazingly wonderful people. And Rob worked real hard, and he said, I got him right. So I said, look, we waited long enough. Let's put him in a 14 claim, and now I'm going to 3. So we'll drop him down, and hopefully he'll be able to win that race now that you got him right. We put him in, and we bet him, and he won for fun. Came back with a 77 buyer, which I suggested to go into 16 or 20 claimer. But a 10 claimer came up before that, and the horse is not 100%, obviously, only having 2 starts as a 5-year-old. You never know, whatever the problem was, how fast it can come back. And he came up and he said, look, we're going to put him in a 10. You'll get a win. You can bet a few bucks on him because he'll surely win. But he's really not a long-term proposition horse, being a 6-year-old, like I said. I think he had 8 starts in his lifetime. And I was knocking myself, why did I claim this horse? I don't know. But he was a fun horse. And he came out yesterday and won pretty comfortably. He was claimed. There were only 4 claims on him. Which surprised me. But I think that, people saw the same thing that I had seen, which is, hey, he really doesn't have a lot of stories. And the best part was I was interviewed by Maggie Wolfendale, who I have the highest.
Oh, she's so great.
Not only does she do such a great interview, not only does she know the game so well, but I mean, she's so articulate. She dresses amazing. I don't think I've ever seen her wear the same thing, and everything she wears is fantastic. So she's a fashion icon. Yeah, I mean, we're in a game at Aqueduct, and we have somebody of this level there. And it's not just her. It's the whole NYRA crew, I think, is just fantastic. You have your favorites, and you got Andy Serling there who never picks me. I don't know if he picked me yesterday, but I could be assured that if I have a horse in the race, Andy's not picking me, which I like. I'm glad. I'm really happy.
You don't need the extra weight on your back, yeah.
Right. So, you know what? It was a really great time, even though it was a cheap claimer. I've raced, obviously, in much higher classes than that. And I walked away with a small profit. And somebody else, I wish them the best. George Anthony, as George and I are very different. When I lose a horse, I hope they do well. And when he loses a horse,
he doesn't want anything to second. I'm sure he doesn't wish ill of the animal, but he doesn't want anything to second guess. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, and I think it's just like, you know, like somebody claims from him, he takes it personally.
Right.
Not
well,
me.
I was going to ask you that, actually, because there are stories like that about the claiming owner getting cursed out and this and that, and there's stories of them walking the horse with the shank and everybody's smiling and very happy on the other side of things. I was curious in this case how that went, but it sounds like you have more of a you play it like you treat it like a business. You play it like a game, but you treat it like a business. And when the you knew this horse was going to get claimed, and then the horse gets claimed, and there's no hard feelings.
Right, and I got the horse by claiming the horse, so you know, and I lost in the same way. So I'm always amazed when people take it personally. You know, there are a few people, maybe on one hand, that I won't claim from. A few, not that they've ever asked me anything, but you know, people like. I'm friendly with Sandy Goldfarb, so I wouldn't claim a horse from him. Dutro has one or two owners that I've known when I was with Rick. And I just, Vinny Scuderi to me is like the nicest guy we have in the business. So not that he's ever said anything, but I wouldn't claim a horse, you know, from him as well. So, you know, a couple of those. But other than that, I don't mind who claims from me. I don't take it personally. And unless it was my train claimed for me, which I've had happen.
Really? I thought there were ethics about that.
I've had it happen. I never said a word. I was very happy to lose the horse. I won't say who it was, but I was shocked that the guy, he claimed the horse. I didn't say a word. It's fine. You got the horse. Great. You know, so that's my philosophy in the claiming game. It's get in there. If you made a mistake, admit you made a mistake and try to get out with as much as you can. And if you have a good horse, then you try to protect them. And, you know, you're only going by what the trainer's telling you, what he sees. And, you know, I also have to learn the trainer. So, like, Rob Atrus, I always call him Mr. Negative. He's always, if he tells you a horse is going to win, the horse can't lose because he's just, always that way. He's always, well, you know, Larry.
Managing expectations.
Yeah, always like that. Okay, always like that. And then George Anthony, he's always, every horse he has is going to win every race, you know, that way. And usually I've seen with Dave Jacobs, and he's also pretty much of an optimist, and sometimes with good reason to be an optimist.
Sure.
But, so you have to take that into account when you're, you know, deciding if you should bet your horse or whatever. Yesterday, I did bet a lot of money on the horse. I thought he couldn't lose. It was actually only won by a length and a half, so it was close. But anyway, it was fun. I had a good time, and I'm really excited about today's racing, even though, let's be honest, this is not the greatest Preakness we've ever seen, but it is an interesting Preakness. And so we'll get on to that later after we do one of the earlier races. Would you like to go to race six?
Yeah, let's do it. I do just want to say for the audience and for you that at some point we need to do an hour-long evergreen show all about the claiming game and all about, you know, the unwritten rules and how you've talked before in little bits and pieces about how you select horses, et cetera, and how you play the game. But at some point we need to dive deep into that. But you're right. We've got great racing today, so let's get to that for now. Starting with race number six, we've got these three-year-olds in the Chicklang. We're going 6 furlongs on the dirt, and I'm interested why you had mentioned this race to talk about, only because my opinion is super boring in here. So I'm wondering if that means you have something clever or if you just have a strong opinion about one of the obvious horses.
First of all, I forgot to say, because I always take responsibility for the Kentucky Derby. I said I love Fierceness at 3-1. I loved him even more. However, I was not happy with the ride. I didn't ride the horse, but you know what I said. This horse has to bolt out of the gate like it's a 6-furlong race.
He bobbled a little bit. He hopped at the start, and I do think that compromised Johnny a little bit.
And then he rated him, though. He should have been pushing him. he was like raiding on the outside, raiding on. I know it's a mile and a quarter race, but I don't care. Mm-hmm. You rake, get that horse to the lead, whatever it takes. If you had to go 44, get the horse to the rail. So I was really upset and bet a lot of money on the horse. So
you and I both suffered. We suffered on that one. We'll get.
Well, I'll have to make it back today, but I just don't want to, you know, not make believe like I didn't say it. I think now I hear the horse is scheduled for the Belmont.
Yes.
Which I'm happy because a lot of people are going to go, well, he couldn't go a mile and a quarter, so a mile and a half. Listen, if you're listening to me right now, get Irad Ortiz Jr. on this horse. Not that Velasco, I know he's the greatest. He's Hall of Fame, everything. Irad Ortiz Jr., where he's had, Rapoli's had the most success. Put him on this horse. Send this horse to the lead. They're not going to catch this horse. And you're going to get a good price, and he's going to win the Belmont. Okay.
All right. You're still on board. I'm questioning now. I'm in a questioning mode. I feel very burned. But I take your point. I mean, we both said it. Well, you said he couldn't lose. I said he's 50-50, which still makes him a great bet at the 3-1 that he was. Right. But now I'm you know, we'll see who shows up. We'll see what the pace looks like. I'm not saying I won't bet him, but I'm not in a hurry to bet him. You're in a hurry to bet him back. That is very
interesting. I'm in a hurry. Well, especially if it rads on him. So we'll see what the boss said decides to do.
Let's go to race six. Yeah.
All right. So you thought this was a boring race?
No. The race isn't boring. My opinion is boring.
Okay. Well, you got a few horses here that are contenders. And the horse, just the type of horse I love is the one horse, Mr. Skylight. And why do I love this horse? Well, his first start, he goes up at 76-1. So apparently they didn't like the way he was training or whatever.
Nothing was expected. Field. Yeah.
Right. And he finishes second. Okay. Now they come back the next race at Gulfstream, you know, in the winter meet, and breaks a little backwards, comes on and comes again in the stretch and wins in a very nice time, progressing upwards, 82 Boyer to 83. Now they put him in an allowance race, and he's at 6 furlongs. He just battles for the lead the whole way, opens up, and holds sway in the stretch. Now, to me, and you got Floyd Pratt on this horse from the rail, a horse that's getting better. I love his breeding, Practical Joke, Northern Affleet mare. Nobody talks about Northern Affleet, but I love when I see those bloodlines on the damn side. So this is exactly the kind of horse I love. Now I got to look at, you know, you have the 6-horse Force Free with Irad Ortiz Jr. This horse is going to be the favorite. I agree. By the way, the morning lines today, I think, are right on. Sometimes I complain about them, but I think they're right on. So here's a horse. Now what's going to happen? If you're Floyd Pratt, are you letting Irad get the lead? That's my first question to you.
I wouldn't. I think there's a chance they're either going to duel, or I think that Ortiz is going to sit off. You have Americanized Flavian Pratt's name. I think he might like to be known as Floyd. Who knows? Maybe he's been here long enough. He could go for it. But it's going to be an interesting. I mean, Pratt's just got to go from down there, and I would imagine. Yeah. I would imagine Irad will just sit right off him, and then the race will be on in the turn. That's how I was seeing it play out.
Well, okay. Now, if it was me, and it was my horse, I would tell him, let Irad go.
Oh, interesting.
Push him a little bit, you know, make him work, but let him go. Because here's what I see. This horse has the lead, and his last two starts, what happened? He stopped. Okay, maybe you say it was a little bit better horses, but he stopped. And he didn't get beat in those. He got beat solidly. So you let this horse go, and then you stalk him. First you make him work, then you let him go, then you stalk him on the turn, and you will outfinish him. So if they do what I say, and you got a 3-1 morning line, I love this horse. Now you got a horse, the 3-horse, but Patinga's Twin, if that's the way you...
I think that's it. Yep.
Okay. I see this horse possibly second. I don't see this horse as a winner. but I see him possibly second. So depending upon how the race goes, you can backwheel this horse. He's not going to win. He's going to be second. I don't really like anything else in this race. You know, some decent horses, but, you know, you got D. Wayne Lucas. I mean, am I crazy? Something I want to ask you something.
Please.
Does somehow he remind you of Joe Biden in some way?
They're comparable. They're a comparable age. I guess Lucas is actually older, right?
Quite. But,
you know,
D. Wayne's a lot older. But yeah. I'm just saying, there's something about them with the sunglasses and the look. I don't
see where you're going. You know, D. Wayne is he's a bit of a politician too. So there's something there. Yeah. I don't think it's crazy.
Okay. So, but he's got no shot here. And so that's the way I see the race. And I'm going to bet it big. I mean, I don't even know if I'll box the exact. I might box a little bit the exacta with the sick, but I am betting big on this one horse. So what say you?
You make a compelling case. I was seeing Mr. Skylight going and Arad getting that attacking trip on Frost Free. So I would have made Frost Free my first choice. And then I also see a scenario where if those two just hook up, couldn't it set up nicely for a runner like the two Cats by Five? So that's another one, especially for exactas, the idea of having the one and the six. You figure whoever wins that speed duel maybe wins the race, maybe Cats by Five to come in there for second. Those would be my thoughts on it. Again, not terribly interesting. I like the fact that you have such conviction about Mr. Skylight. I just hope that, you know, for his chances, I think you're probably right. Maybe he can get outside and become the hunter instead of the hunted. It's an interesting tactical race that I'm much more interested in after talking to you about it.
Yeah. So again, this is a race, you know, so I always feel like when my horse is racing, I at least have some control, even though the jockey half the time is not going to listen to you, but you at least can have the trainer call him or something. Here, I'm only talking on a podcast. Maybe we should start sending it to the jockeys so they can listen. But I've been handicapping long enough to know what he should do. And what he should do is leave, let a rat go, stalk him around the turn, and he will wear him down. I'm sure of that. So we'll see what happens, but I'm very confident that's my best bet of the day because of the price. Let's go on to race 8, if you don't mind.
Let's do it. The Maryland Sprint. We stay at 6 furlongs. We do have one scratch to report in here. The 5 will not go. So we're down to a field of 6 in this one. I'm curious to see what you think about the pace in this race, because I was hoping there was going to be enough to set it up for an off-the-pace run from Coastal Mission. But the scratch, that was one of the horses I saw being up there prompting the pace. So I need to reevaluate it a little bit. What's your opinion here?
Yeah, well, you do have some speed here, you know, with the 2 and the 4 are definitely, look like they both want to be on the lead. And you got on the outside Prince of Jericho, who's also showed some speed, but you know, he's on the outside. I think he'll get some money, and he certainly, you know, certainly has been good his last two starts. But I'm a big, you know, believer in a 6 furlongs. I want to control the race as much as I can.
Yes.
So I look at it, and I only see 3 horses, 2, 3, and 6. That's all I can, come up with. I know you're one horse, but I don't like that horse. I don't think, you know, you're just betting on everybody killing each other. And as I always say, these jockeys, they watch replays too. They handicap as well. So they're seeing what we see. Now, who's riding Super Chow? Because I don't have that. I know Oliver was riding.
I've got it. It's Castellano will be on Super Chow.
Okay. Well, he's been a hot man lately.
Yep.
So I'm looking and trying to go, all right, who's going to be on the lead? Now, if you look at Prevalence, right, everything you see before his last race, the horse is coming off the pace. You know, sometimes he had some speed or whatever, but his last race just blew everything out of the water. I mean, he just ran an incredible race, great buyer. He's 6 years old, Medaglia d'Oro, out of Ghost Zapper, great breeding, you know, Brendan Walsh, all that stuff, Arad Ortiz. So I'm looking and going, okay, what do I want to do? Go with the more consistent horse or this one-time horse prevalence? And Super Chow, you know, his last race was in the Carter Handicap, and it was, you know, 7 furlongs. And I watched that race, and he was used, even though the fractions don't show, they show very slow. But, you know, at Aqueduct at that time, these races were going really, really slow. He did collapse at the end. You know, my question is, was it the 7 furlongs? Or if he comes back, you know, he had won at the Toboggan at 7 furlongs. So I think he's going to be softened up a little bit. And I'm going to have to go with, and I hate to do this because I think he could bounce, but prevalence, if he's anywhere near 5-2, you know, that last race is just better than these horses. So I'm using the 2 over the 4 and 6, the Prince of Jericho.
Over the
what
3
do you
and
think?
The, over the 3 and the 6 or the 4 and the 6? You're going to use Super
I'm
Chow?
I'm sorry, 3 and the 6. Yeah. Sorry, 3 and 6.
I just wanted to make sure people got that straight. Yeah, I like it. I will probably have 2 different approaches on my tickets. One will be that prevalence is just the best horse. I think his form, that race isn't as out of nowhere if you only look at the dirt starts. You know, he has other, at least, you know, in the 90s type races on the dirt. So it is odd to see one step up that much as a 6-year-old, but he's got the pedigree. Maybe Walsh just has him right. But I definitely also want some combinations playing this for a bit of a meltdown. I'm hoping the market sees it like you and focuses mainly on those other 3 contenders, and maybe we can get a little bit more of a price. 3-1 on Coastal Mission, probably not quite enough, honestly, even with that scratch, for me to get too excited. But I definitely want some Coastal Mission just in case they hook up too much. And Pimlico is a track. You know, we'll see. We'll have a good idea by this time how the track's playing. I mean, if you can make up ground in that stretch at Pimlico, Coastal Mission should be flying late, and I think there's a very good chance to be second and could maybe even win the thing. So I'll probably focus my attention around him. So we're a little bit oppo there in race number 8.
Well, that's good that we're opposite, and you're right. I mean, I can't say this horse doesn't have a chance. I mean, he's run some big races. What I don't like is he shows 100 buyer his last race, and he won it by a nose. He beat Prince Jericho. I think Prince Jericho was better than him in his last start. You know, he just won. Prince Jericho was battling, and he comes by and just beats him by a nose. So they got big figures for that. And, you know, as I always say, buyer's figures are, they give you an idea, but they're not exact. I've seen numbers that I can't understand. You said one day you'll get Andy Beyer on the show. Maybe he'll explain it to me. But, you know, so he's going to get bet. He's going to get bet.
Yeah, the figure might get him. It might mean he is that 3-1, which would make him a little bit less interesting. One other thing about that day, though, I did think it was a day that was kind to speed. So I was upgrading Coastal Mission a little and maybe downgrading Prince of Jericho a bit. But I take what you're saying from a visual point of view. The horse did fight and do plenty of work on the front end. So you can kind of argue it either way, but it's interesting. We'll see how it plays out in a few hours there on that Pimlico Oval. Should we get to the big one?
Yeah, but I also want to say that it's the horse that's not impossible is the 7 Bourbon Bash.
Oh, let me hear the case on that.
I mean, you look at it going from Ashmushin. I don't know why I always call him that, but I know it's Asmussen, but the horse is a city of light out of violence, so I love the breeding on this horse. Joel Rosario is getting up for him. This horse is consistent, 1st, 2nd, 6 times in a row, or 3rd. So he's a real consistent horse. And if you're right, and they really do hook up, I think you got to use this horse. And if you're using pick 6s, pick 5s, pick 4, whatever you're using, use this horse in there, especially if this horse is 6, 7, 8-1. He definitely has a chance.
Yeah, I see your point, for sure. I mean, that run, that run two back might be a bit of a template, right? Just let the speeds go. Maybe Coastal Mission joins the party early, and maybe it's Bourbon Bash down the center. It's an interesting little race on an interesting card today. Let's talk about the Preakness. So we talked a little bit about the Derby already, and you know, and our thoughts on Fierceness coming out of that one. Well, what did you think about Mystic Dan's run? Let's start with him, your presumptive favorite in this spot. Was he, you know, he was the only speed to hang around, so you could upgrade him for that. But he was also undeniably lucky that he hugged the rail the whole time, had a pretty easy trip. He showed some gameness going through that small hole. But I can't shake the idea that last time was the time you wanted to bet him, and I want to, for gambling purposes, go a different way here, and I'll just be happy for racing if he wins, because I think that'll be lots of fun discussion in the run-up to his potential Triple Crown bid. But what did you think of his Derby?
Well, remember, we were talking at the Derby when we talked about the Derby and about Calvin Borrell.
Yep.
Right? And I'm going like, deja vu.
This was there the second is. Coming. Yeah. Hernandez was channeling him.
And when you say he came up a little hole, watch the race again, my friend.
Yeah, the hole wasn't
there. He drifted 18 wide, and the horse came from nowhere. All of a sudden, he's got five lengths, and then he's gasping for breath. The other two horses were clearly better horses than him.
That's what I saw.
The Japanese are, you know, clearly. I mean, so he got the miracle of miracles. And you know what? I like when long shots win the Derby, except that I lost money. But, I mean, it was great to see him hanging on at the end, life and death, at the wire. And he will be, my gut is he's going to be about 6-5 here. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, feels right. 6-5, 3-2 at the outside, even money at the least. 6-5 is a good guess.
I can't bet the horse. I may use him. He does have a nice rush to him. He has a brush, you know. But keying on a horse like that, no. So I go to the outside horse. You know what my feelings, Bob Baffert was screwed. For no reason here. And here's his chance. His Moose, unfortunately, got scratched.
Yeah, he had a fever.
That's the horse that clearly I would have liked to make a big bet on. But you got this horse, Imagination. I think isn't there a song from Disney, Imagination? Whatever. I guess that's
it's in a lot of song lyrics. I'm not sure which one you mean, but it's definitely appeared in plenty of songs.
So he's an Into Mischief. They paid $1,050,000, for him. And he's one of these horses. You just look at him. No matter what pulls, no matter what, he's always right there. He either wins by a neck or loses by a neck or a head or a leg. He's consistent, okay? And I love consistency in a horse, especially if I own one. But obviously, this is too good for me to own. But this horse is tough. And he's got great gate speed. I don't know if he'll be on the lead, but I'm pretty sure he's not going to be worse than second.
I think he'll be on the lead. I think he'll. I guess Just Steel. He could be sitting right off Just Steel. You got to figure they'll send him too. But you're right. He won't be far from it. And I think Dettori will be aggressive.
Well, let's look at Just Steel, because I did notice that Just Steel's best race is from off the pace. Okay, now. Joel Rosario, go look on the program, look down six races. See, I did do my homework.
Yeah, it was good.
And Joel kept him off the pace. Right? Even though he had been always near the lead, he kept him off the pace. The horse just blew by and won easily. So, and he was 12-1, so it wasn't an easy spot. So now, I can't think for these jockeys. But if I were Joel, I wouldn't be on the lead. I'd want the same kind of race. Let these other horses go for the lead, battle a little bit, and Joel could come running at the end. I mean, they have him 15-1 in the morning line, I guess, with the strat, maybe 8-1.
Yeah.
He definitely has a shot if they're going too fast up front. So I'm just looking at that and saying, Imagination is the horse I'm going to bet. If he's... I'm assuming he's 3 or 4-1. Do you think that's reasonable?
I th- think so. They were betting him like crazy at one point in the international betting, but it seems to have settled now. It right in that range you're talking. I think 4-1, 9-2. A lot of horses. I mean, a lot of horses have to take money here, right? Catching Freedom's going to take money. I think Tuscan right. Gold, who is the other contender I like along with Imagination, is going to take money. But yeah, 3 or 4-1. I mean, I don't love that on Imagination, but he's one of the two horses that I have as an A in those 2-day. I'm alive in one of the two 2-day pick fives, and the two horses that I'm most interested in are Tuscan Gold and Imagination. I'm just taking the theory that maybe it wasn't a great Derby, and maybe right. it's these strangers that we want. And then there's also the Chad Brown factor with Tuscan Gold. I mean, we've seen him do this three other times where he has a horse not quite good enough for the Derby that he then points for the Preakness instead, and then he catches sort of a softened group. And, you know, he won it twice doing this with Early Voting and with Cloud Computing, and then he nearly won it last year with Blazing Sevens, who came making that menacing move in the lane. I don't think the Louisiana Derby is bad form. You know, Honor Marie and Catching Freedom both ran decently, all things considered, when you consider that, I mean, Honor Marie wasn't as close up as Catching Freedom, but I thought he had some trip excuses. I think that's decent form. I think Tuscan Gold's the other interesting horse. I mean, look, obviously Mystic Dan can win, Catching Freedom. These horses can win, but I think the ones we're looking at are more likely to be valued. Do you give Tuscan Gold any count?
I think he does have a chance, you know, to be there. I don't know, you know, I really think the horse I wanted in this race was that Constitution that we had talked about his first race. I can't remember his name. And then he came back on Derby Day and won for fun.
Yes.
And
the Rapoli,
he's untested.
The Rapoli Beast. I'm spacing on the name, too. There's some talk of him for the Belmont as well.
Well, I think he'd be great for the Belmont. But, you know, is he going to race him against his own horse? I thought this would be the spot to bring him in. Even though he had just won, it was such an easy race he had.
Mind frame is the name.
Yeah,
of the horse.
Right. That's the horse I was hoping was going to be in this race because I think he beat all these horses. I'm just not overwhelmed by any of the horses here. So I'm going with the outside horse, Imagination. I have to have an Imagination. Bob Baffert, I think this will be just reward. Sometimes you have to be like that. You know what? Here they didn't have him in the Derby. He could have won the Derby. And now it's his chance to get revenge. Muth was scratched out. You know, it's like a storyline. So I just think that horse is going to be there. I don't know if he's going to win by a head or a neck or lose by a head or a neck. But at 4-1 of those prices, I'm using him. I'm wheeling with the horses we're talking about. I'm wheeling up and down. And that's going to be my bet in the Preakness.
That makes sense to me. What about Catching Freedom? Where do you stand on him? There's a story to be told, and I think he's likely to hit the board, but I'm not playing it. I don't have him on top anywhere.
Yeah. I watched the rate replay again of the Derby, and he followed Mystic Dan on that golden trip, you know, that where everybody goes wide
yep.
and you come up the rail. And he was okay. He was okay. Was he great? No. Before that, the same thing. He's a closer. You know he's not going to be near the lead. And so does he have enough to get there? I don't think so. Would I use him in the triples? Yeah.
Alongside
yeah.
Juno. I think that makes sense.
Again, we have to really look at the prices. Like I said, I think the morning line is good. This guy's made really good morning lines from what I've looked at. And then you got to cut him in half now because of the scratch of Muth. But I think you got to take prices. You got to look at the value. We talk about that. And Imagination is 5-2. I'm not betting him at 5-2. But if he's 7-2, 4-1, or anything like that, I'm gonna bet him big in exactness because I know he just has a tendency to fight and just, you know, there are horses that just love to fight with other horses. And no matter what the time is, the rate, that's just the way they are. And this, to me, is one of those horses. So that horse is going to be my key. And if Mystic Dan wasn't in the top three, it wouldn't shock me at all. If he won by three lengths, that would shock me.
I mean, you think he can win the race, though, or are you just totally against?
He could, of course, he could win the race because it's not good horses. It's not top horses here. So he did win the Derby. Okay, he did win other races by 8 lengths, but he's a one move horse. So if that move is made under a perfect circumstances, like in the Derby, he's okay. But if he rides him like he's the best and circles three wide and gets pushed out or everything like that, I don't see him winning this race. And I could see him not being in the top three, possibly. You know, I'm not saying he's not going to be in the top three, but you got to bet the odds. And a horse 3-2, 7-5, 6-5, even money, whatever they got to bet him down to, not for me. Not for me.
I hear you. I'm not using him in my picks. I probably would use him underneath with the likes of Imagination and Tuscan Gold. I mean, I think that's the key for me. 8 and 9. If we get an 8 or a 9 on top, then I'd like to feel I want to have all these other horses we're talking about in underneath right. In verticals. But horizontals wise, yeah, those are the two I'm going to war with. So we were a little oppo in those first two races where more or less the same, sort of 1 and 1A, but with different horses as the top one in this year's Preakness. Very excited to have this conversation with you, Larry. I think we should get the show out in the world, though, because we're getting near first post.
Let's go. I got to get to the track. So nice talking to you. Thank you. And I will be in touch soon. Goodbye.
Great stuff. Larry, thank you so much. Thanks to everybody out there for listening. We'll be back soon.